prepare to go to the moon and a New Kids Blood concert. But before we do, may I interrupt this regularly scheduled podcast to encourage you to participate in our No Retreat Spring Match Giving Gift Campaign. So many of you have. We are so grateful. If you have not yet, and you can, would you please consider visiting fortisinstitute.org/donate? We're doing lots of stuff. We want to reach lots of people. We want churches to be strengthened. We want to equip and help and support and encourage pastors. We want to keep providing free resources. We want to find people who have never heard the gospel and proclaim great news to them. And we would love it if you would partner with us in that endeavor. If you'd be so kind, it's a matching gift campaign titled No Retreat. You can learn more at fortisinstitute.org/donate. Now, let's go to that concert.
Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
To convince a child to keep walking, try switching roles with them. Let the child play the role of the parent. They'll immediately do what you want them to do.
You are raising in your home people that the Bible is very clear about their status. They need to be converted, not just a conformity of their behavior. They need a transforming encounter with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the ultimate priority.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Do not be confused. This is not a church service, although frankly, it could be.
We want to see everybody in the building. Out your seat. We want to see you jump. Here we go.
This is Wretched Radio. Come on, church. That's right. The Right Stuff Sermon Series. No, I'm sorry. This is actually a video of the New Kids on the Block.
First time was crazy. Second time was a blast.
Okay, a little pitchy, but at least the dude is singing. That's something these days. The place is packed. It's all goyles standing on their feet, digging the 80s sounds of the New Kids on the Block. Now, I might have this wrong, and if I do, Jimmy will correct me because you are a big fan of the New Kids, correct?
No. My wife was. She had.
She was eight.
She went to school with the lunchbox
you
and
should,
everything.
You should see this. It's in Philadelphia. It's a massive stadium. It's got to be 15, 18,000 people, and they are all absolutely thrilled to see their childhood idols, heartthrobs probably, New Kids on the Block. Well, it turns out one of them is making a profession of faith. Which one is it, Jimmy?
I don't know. It was
Donnie.
Donnie. That's
Donnie,
right.
What? Now, see, I get him confused. He's got a brother, right?
Yes, he has.
He was in the NSYNC.
No. Eh? His brother is a big, huge movie star, and his brother was Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch. He was a rapper. He was. I just said that out loud.
Yeah, you did. And I never want to hear it again. Really. Now, the reason I brought up the brother is I thought that the Mark Wahlberg, you said, was very Roman Catholic. Still is.
Yes.
Very Roman Catholic. So Donnie must have grown up Roman Catholic, but now he's saying that he's saved. Let's give a listen and let's hope so. Shall we?
You know, you say like people in the industry and stuff like that are broken. Like I'm realizing in this last year, man, you know, I'm broken too. You know,
that is again with the transparency. Yesterday, we heard Theo Vaughn saying the exact same thing. Now, we need to be careful with this word broken because it's not wrong, but it can be defined wrongly. We are broken because we're totally affected by the fall. So everything about us is kafritz. So yes, we are broken and we have pasts and we have regrets. And we just wish we could go back and do things all over again. And things, relationships are shattered. We are broken people. But we're more than that. We're sinful people. Let's see if that is the profession of one New Kid on the Block, Donnie Wahlberg.
Well, I'm broken too. And I woke up this morning and I've been doing this practice. Jenny and I Bible study together. We pray together. We do all the things. And
well, that's cool to hear.
let me tell you, like, this is really should be just the interview about my wife, because I told her like over a year ago, I was building this show, the New Kids Show in Las Vegas. And I said, you know, I've been on and off, like really wanting to commit my life to Jesus. And
wow.
And then I would do it. I'd be like, but I didn't have the resources. Like, I grew up in a Catholic church. It's like, well, I'll just go to church and I'll figure it out. And it was like, and I was like, it's different. I'm missing something, you know, missing a connection. And I didn't.
Wow.
You know, you would think.
Hold on there, Donnie. That's the Jimmy. Did you put Theo Von's words into Donnie Wahlberg's mouth?
I did not.
It's the this is perhaps instructive. Now, look, two Christians of testimonies of some sort from celebrities does not a trend make, but it's like there's something missing. What's missing? What's the issue? Now, obviously, we'd have to talk to each one of them to kind of sort through it, but I can't. What's missing, I wonder, is how they just need discipleship. That's what they need, discipleship. There isn't this is the missing piece right here. They just need discipleship and they need ongoing presence at a Bible teaching local church to help them get this sorted out. I hope he says he's doing that.
I could have just turned on Instagram and watched you or somebody, all these people that I love so much now and got some insight, but I just kept trying to do it myself. Because when I got famous at like 19, 20 years old, so the guy putting our family together, it instantly became this thing where I was like held up on this pedestal to everybody. Everybody, people that I used to look up to, grownups be like, hey, how do I fix this? I'm like, yeah, what do I know? I'm in a boy band. Like, yeah. But then I'm also a people pleaser, right? I want to fix everyone's problems inherently. So now I'm like, well, I got to have all the answers. Totally. And I literally have walked around for the last 30 something, 37, 38 years thinking I have all the answers.
So he must be 55. I'm just wondering if there have been any meetings about changing the name of the band. Just at some point, maybe like middle-aged men on the block, something like that.
It has been so difficult in the last year to realize I don't have them all. I can try and I know God's doing all the work, but I finally got to a point where I was like, I can't do it anymore without him. I'm missing something in my life. And I have a wonderful wife. Wonderful kids. I have everything. So as I am testifying right now, I don't have a story of having everything and losing it. I don't have a story of being a drug addict and recovering. And God bless all those people who find their way. Everything to the outside, to everyone, looks perfect. Mm. And I was empty. I was empty without
all right.
him.
Okay. Now, he's being interviewed on a podcast. It is our genuine hope this man is born again. What I would love to hear is more than emptiness and brokenness. I'd love to hear about sin, because that is the core of the gospel. Does God fill up empty people? Yes, he does. Does he put together broken pieces? Yes, he does. But that isn't the gospel. The gospel is about coming to terms with my sinfulness, not my inadequacies, not my inabilities, not my deficiencies, not my inability to answer questions for other people. It's that I am a totally depraved sinner.
And I was existing without him and trying to, you know, glorify him at times or acknowledge him at times, but not glorify him. And I sat down with my wife one morning and I was in Las Vegas. I had just finished creating the New Kids Las Vegas show and being involved in creating this new spinoff TV show that I'm the star of.
Congrats.
And thank you. And the whole, to the outside world, it's like, you are at killing the top.
Yeah.
And I felt at the bottom.
Again, don't know his whole testimony, but this is instructive for us. When we give a testimony, yes, it can include those details of, hey, everybody thought I was this, but I was really that. That's fine. But what a testimony must include, if we are going to help people understand what conversion really is and the reason that we have repented and put our trust in Jesus Christ, is because he died for our sins. Now, he seems really genuine. I hope he's going to church. I hope we get to hear that. Sounds like he's studying his Bible. Rock on. I think, was that one of their songs? Rock on?
Maybe.
You got their CD. You've got their 8-track in your car. Rock on with that. But I would love for this testimony to include what the gospel really is. Now, is this not a testimony? It is a testimony. But if you read the Old Testament, you will notice there are a wide variety of testimonies. There's a testimony of God's covenantal faithfulness. There's a testimony of God being a military warrior. So you've got the songs of Moses. You've got the songs of David. All of the Psalms are testimonies about God when they are praising him and describing his character and nature. Those are all testimonies. But a testimony, a conversion testimony, must include, I was a sinner. I was under the wrath of God. I would be rightly judged and condemned for eternity. But Jesus Christ, the God-man, died for me while I was yet a sinning. I repented, put my trust in Jesus Christ. My sins are forgiven and I get to live forever. That sounded kind of Rick Warren-y. The point is, we've got to make sure if we're going to give a conversion test, he's testifying sweetly about God. Cool. Confessing his lostness when it comes to just being an individual who's not what everybody perceives him to be. But a conversion testimony has to include sin, condemnation, redemption in Jesus.
And I talked to my wife and I said, I have to connect with Jesus. I have to give my life to him now. And she was like, of course. And I was like, waiting for her to be like, you getting weird on me? And like, as I said, we both grew up Catholic and we talk about God and stuff, but we also looked at to other people. We looked to all these gurus and experts and stuff. Yeah. And
a lot of mentors.
A lot of mentors. And we've now discovered through the word that a lot of them are just rearranging the word, right?
Really hope that fellow is saved. That would be awesome. But let's let this be instructive for us. We can testify about God, and that is giving a testimony when we speak of his goodness, what he's doing in our lives, what he's done in the lives of others. But if we're going to give a conversion testimony, it must include the judicial nature of the gospel. And if it doesn't, then this is Wretched Radio.
No retreat. That's the name of Fortis Institute's Spring Match campaign, and we chose that name for a reason. The church has been quietly backing up for years. A doctrine gets a little uncomfortable, a truth sounds a little too exclusive, so we set it aside. And before long, the gospel sounds more like an apology than an announcement. Fortis Institute is determined to push the other direction, to encourage churches to hold fast to hard truth and to proclaim the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ rightly and loudly. That's why we're inviting you to join us on the No Retreat Spring Match campaign. Right now, through the end of May, every dollar you give is matched dollar for dollar, and your gift will help launch 2 new podcasts, publish Todd Friel's new book, Go Serve Your King, through HarperCollins, and fund gospel proclamation on college campuses. The gospel doesn't move backward, and neither should we. You can find out more right now at fortisinstitute.org/donate.
Is it possible a Christian university can actually be ranked high when it comes to preparing students for the real world? Hat tip to Masters University. You want to send your kids someplace where they actually still teach the Bible? Not just based on a document that they maybe have in a file cabinet someplace, but they actually use the Bible there. The education at the Masters University, not only biblical, but oh so practical. Courses, diplomas, degrees, they can be achieved online or, of course, on their beautiful campus in Southern California. Would you like to learn more about the Masters University to prepare you or your child for the future? I encourage you to visit masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Books of the Bible. The book of Revelation describes visions given to the Apostle John by Jesus Christ concerning the consummation of history. Its symbolic style makes Revelation a mystery to many. But you can understand much by asking what are the setting and action and who are the characters. When you wonder how it's all going to end, God has given Revelation just for you.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Conundrum, can you explain why this a-religious astronaut had this response when he returned from outer space and saw a cross?
I'm not really a religious person, but there was just no other avenue for me to explain anything or to experience anything. So I asked for the chaplain on the Navy ship to just come visit us for a minute. And when that man walked in, I'd never met him before in my life, but I saw the cross on his collar, and I broke down in tears. Like, it's very hard to fully grasp what we just went through. And in these short, you just said it's been a week since we've been back, but it's been a week of medical testing, physical testing, doctors, science, objectives. We have not had that decompression. We have not had that reflection time. So I'm basing this on what we saw. And when the sun eclipsed behind the moon, I think all four of us, I turned to Victor and I said, I don't think humanity has evolved to the point of being able to comprehend what we are looking at right now, because it was otherworldly. It was amazing.
Indeed it is. This is Wretched Radio. Why do you explain that this fellow who does not believe in Jesus Christ, or at least he didn't before he went to outer space, why did he react that way? Why did he break down and cry in seeing a cross? Well, we can only speculate to a degree, but I think we can explain it biblically. The heavens declare the glory of God. You and I don't often see it. Perhaps we take it for granted. A mountain isn't that big of a deal to us. They're pretty regular, at least here in Georgia. But this fellow goes how many thousands of miles away? He looks down and he sees the big blue dot. And he sees the enormity of the sun and an eclipse. What was he seeing and hearing? Because creation speaks the glory of God. I think that's why he experienced what it is that he experienced. Furthermore, I might suggest to you, it is possible, I don't know the man's heart, but it is possible that he was actually feeling conviction of sin. Now, let me explain that. In order for somebody to become a Christian, they must understand their depravity. What is the biblical modus operandi to help somebody understand their sin? Do I see a hand anywhere? Do I see a hand anywhere? It's the law. The use of the law brings about the knowledge of sin. Evermore, the law must precede the gospel. It's the MRI that reveals to somebody, hey, you got a malady. Would you like a cure? And then we get to present the gospel. All of the reformers understood the use of the law as a necessity preceding the gospel. The Puritans affirm that. Martin Lloyd-Jones, the gospel can only be understood when the bad news is revealed. And the standard practice of the Bible is to use the law as a mirror, as a schoolmaster, to bring people to Christ. They had not known sin, but by the law. And so typically, the very effective use of the law is to serve its purpose, because the law is good if used lawfully, is to bring about the knowledge of sin. But I would suggest to you there are two other ways that that can be accomplished. I hope Ray Comfort isn't listening to this. What does the law do? What does the law do? It brings you low. It elevates God. You see his loftiness. You see his holiness. You understand the standard by which you will be judged, and it should drop you down. That's what the law does. But I do believe there are two other ways that that can be accomplished. I'll save the astronaut's way for the third way. The second way, I think that preaching about Jesus Christ, and it doesn't even need to necessarily be about sin, but preaching specifically, I think, about the goodness of Jesus Christ, what he did for sinners. Sure, preaching about sin can bring about conviction, but that's using the law. I'm talking about proclaiming the goodness that the Holy Spirit is already working on the heart of a dead man or woman to convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment by hearing about the goodness of God in Christ Jesus. That can bring you low. I know it did for me. I think I know when I got saved. Like that minute. No, that isn't necessary. That doesn't need to be your story. I'm just telling you. And it was because I understood how kind and patient and good God was. And what did it do? It convicted me. He's been that good and I have been that horrible. And so I think preaching about the goodness of God can bring about the knowledge of sin. Of course, it requires the work of the Holy Spirit to convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment. But I do believe that that can be an effective way to evangelize somebody, but there's a challenge to it. As a rule, if you're doing one-on-one, it's a little bit harder to preach a sermon to somebody. I think using the law is quite efficient. It's quite effective. But I would also say that we must present the goodness of God. Remember, it is the kindness of God that leads to repentance. And so, yes, we should open up the law, but then we've got to show how magnificent Jesus is in fulfilling the law, dying for those of us who are lawbreakers. We've got to include that in our evangelism. And that should make it, I'm going to use the word fun. Seriously, fun. You love telling people about stuff that you've discovered, that you delight in. You come back from a trip. What do you? Well, I don't want to let people know how good it was. No, you can't help it. You're effusive about it. Oh, and then we did this and we saw that and the food. Oh, you really have to go. That should be our attitude toward evangelism, because we get to tell about something better than a trip, as wonderful as it might have been. We get to tell about Jesus. We get to tell about the goodness of God in Christ Jesus. I think it's best to use the law first. But to my point that I do believe preaching about the goodness of God still can bring about the knowledge of sin, I'm going to stick with that because it elevates God. It shows him as being so good, which should reveal to us we're so not good. So if you are going to be an effective evangelizer, that doesn't mean going out in the streets or to the campuses. I think using the law, excellent. But proclaiming the goodness of God, excellent. But there's a third way, and I think that might have been what that astronaut experienced. They saw God in his bigness. You get a glimpse of the magnitude of God. And what is that going to do to you? It makes you feel like a pipsqueak. That might have happened to this fellow. And that is another way to bring about the knowledge of sin. Show the bigness of God. Now, here's the challenge to that particular method of evangelism. Most likely, if you're witnessing to somebody, you can't take them up in a spaceship and show them a lunar eclipse. It's a little tough. You don't have that advantage. Could you show them a mountain? Sure, that might do it. I'll bet there are actual genuine testimonies of people saying, I went to the Grand Canyon and there was something about it that revealed to me the bigness of God. And they could have been the very thing that God used to convert them by convicting them, by displaying his grandeur. This is based on Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. Day after day, they speak without saying a word. And if you get a glimpse of God, the way this astronaut did in the revealing of his handiwork and that he measures the universe by the span of his hands, there is a gazillion stars. He knows them all by name. Not one of them is lost. Gulp. They could have brought about conviction of sins. I don't know. I hope that that was the case, that that is what God did in the display of his glory to the select few who went to outer space. It is imperative that when we are sharing the gospel, I know this part, it is hard, but I'm kind of bone weary of hearing testimonies, and I'm not thinking about anybody in particular at the moment. I'm just tired of hearing testimonies of people that don't include the understanding of their own sinfulness and who God is, that he's a consuming fire. Why are we so afraid to present Jesus that way? He came to take the bullet for us. But if we don't explain that there's a God with a loaded gun who is going to do with you on the day of judgment what should be done because of his righteous standard, then Jesus' work ain't all that great. We need a revival of law gospel preaching. We need a revival. I know this has baggage, but let me at least explain it. To a degree of hellfire preaching. No, that's not where preaching ends. That's where so much hellfire preaching goes wrong, You're a sinner. You're going to hell. Believe in Jesus. Is there anything missing from a presentation like that? Yeah, there is. How's about that God sent his beloved son to die on a cross for us horrible hellbound sinners? So that type of preaching, it is rightly got a bad reputation because it is rarely complete preaching. But to remove any sort of, I'll use it in air quotes, hellfire preaching from our gospel proclamations is not doing anybody a favor. In fact, I would suggest to you that it has done more to create more false converts than anything else. You remove the guts of the gospel, and what have you got? You got a brokenness gospel, so come to Jesus. He'll fix you up. You got a loneliness gospel. Come to Jesus. You won't be sad. You need prosperity. Jesus will give you money. We must return to the type of evangelism that brings about conviction of sin, whether that is through the law, proclaiming the goodness of God, or taking them on a spaceship to outer space. This is Wretched Radio.